When it's bad, be still. God is there. Let's talk about it on this edition of Key Life.
Hello, this is Mike Kellogg, and that was Steve Brown. Life isn't a dress rehearsal, and that's why this program, Key Life, is around. Honest, practical, and street-smart Bible teaching for the business of living.
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible, open it to the book of Daniel as we continue with our study in the book of Daniel. I figure next week, maybe the week after, then we'll be finished with Daniel. And frankly, it's one of the books of the Bible that I have trouble understanding sometimes. It can be quite confusing because it's highly symbolic. Once we get beyond the sixth chapter, we're going to start wading in some very deep waters. And I'm going to try to make the waters a little bit clearer, but frankly, nobody knows for sure. Now, if you have your Bible, as we, and this is a part of the Old Testament survey, by the way, open it to Daniel 3, 19 through 30. Now, you got to remember what's happening here. The king has worked to set up a state religion, and he expects everybody to be a part of it. And he makes a statue of himself, and he says, you guys are going to bow down, and you're going to worship this statue, or you're going to die. Now, you can be afraid of it. I'm afraid of it. I hope I don't ever have to go through something like that, where I'm forced to worship the Antichrist or Jesus, because that's kind of scary to me. I was a Methodist for a lot of years, and I love the Methodist Church. I still read John Wesley for my devotions, but can we talk? Methodists had bishops, and I've got an authority problem. And I knew that I could get a turkey for a bishop, and I'd have to listen to God or to the bishop. And if I listened to God, I might starve. And if I listened to the bishop, I could maybe do pretty well. And I didn't want to have to make that choice. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe that if you or I are ever in a place where we have to make that choice, we'll be given the grace to be strong. Corey Ten Boom says that God gives you the money for the passage on the train just before you get on the train, not before. And I'm trusting that that's true if I ever have to face that kind of thing. But at any rate, the king decided that the best way to bring unity is to have everybody bow down and worship at an idol, which was a statue of the king. And he said, if you don't do that, you're going to die. Now look at the 19th verse of the third chapter of the book of Daniel. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury. Now Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we ain't going to do that. No way we're going to do that. And the expression on his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace seven times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind up Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats and trousers, their turbans, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said, that's true, O king. Look, he answered, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. That, by the way, is a Christophany. That means a place where Jesus appears, as it were, in disguise. But at any rate, there were four men in the furnace, and you know how it worked, because you have sung the song, you have read the text, and you have learned the story. They got out, and not even a hair on their head was even singed. Now let me tell you what this text does not teach. It does not teach that if you belong to God, if you're a Christian, you won't have to go through the fire, or if you do, you won't get burned. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't know what was going to happen when they got in the furnace. It just happened that God was glorified in their physical salvation. you need to know that in Acts 7, Stephen was in a similar situation, and it didn't work out the same way. He was stoned to death because he could glorify God in his own death. There's a good prayer that you can pray for people who are going through a difficult time physically. Lord, if by health this person or yourself, I can glorify you, make me well. If by sickness and even death I or this person can glorify you, I accept your will. That's powerful praying. So what does the story of the fiery furnace teach? Let me tell you, it teaches that you find God in the middle of the conflict and the faithfulness. That's why Christians make a mistake when they run from it. It's why we don't see God. Have you ever been in one of those evangelistic services where the evangelist says, turn to the person next to you and say, if you go, I'll go with you? I don't believe I'd do that. I mean, if somebody said that to me, I'd say, no, but you can go on yourself if you want to. I'm not going up there. But it can be effective because it gives somebody a friend to go forward with to express their desire for salvation. Let me tell you what God says. He says, if you go, I'll go with you. I know you're frightened. I know you're lonely. I know it's going to be a hard place for you to be, but you keep running from it. It's my will for you. If you go, I'll go with you. In 325, this is a history lesson, 325, under the reign of the Emperor Constantine. If you've ever read much of church history, you know this. There was a council at Nicaea in Asia Minor. Out of that council came some of the greatest statements of doctrine and theology ever penned by the Church of Christ. For the first time, Christians defined biblically the relationship of Jesus to God. Now, it's a major milestone in the history of the church. And if you've ever read a church history book, you know that what I just told you is true. In fact, you were probably saying to yourself, I knew that. But let me tell you something you probably didn't know. Of the 318 delegates at the Council of Nicaea, not more than 12 came to the council whole. If you had been there, you would have been impressed with the missing hands and the limbs and the eye patches and the scarred tissue. In other words, those who penned the creed, who saw Jesus as he really was, who had a vision that would stand in good stead for the rest of written human history, those delegates, in order to get to it, had to go through the conflict and the pain and the difficulty. One time John Wesley was riding along a road when it dawned on him he hadn't been persecuted for a while. No eggs had been thrown at him. No bricks had hit his head. There had been no mockery. Nobody had laughed. And so he fell on his knees and he said, can it be that I have sinned and I have backslidden? He asked God to show him where he had failed. And then this thief came along by the side of the road, didn't like his prayer, picked up an axe and threw it at Wesley. It missed, but Wesley leaped to his feet, joyfully exclaiming, thank God, it's all right. I still have his blessing. What are you going through right now? I read your letters, and some of you guys, sometimes I'll sit down and go over the prayer list that we get every week from those of you who ask us to pray for you. Sometimes I get behind, and so don't pray, and I get 3 weeks of those prayer lists at one time, and it's almost more than I can bear. 1 week is hard. You guys send us all kinds of things to pray for, divorce and cancer and loss of job and difficulty through which you're going. You've just discovered that your husband or your wife was unfaithful. Your child is on drugs. People have confessed to abortion. I mean, this goes on and on and on. I don't know what you're going through, but if you're going through a really difficult time, don't run from it. Run to it, because you will find God there. God says, if you go, I'll go with you. My friend Larry Crabb says that whatever it is, if it's bad, probe it until it hurts more. And then keep probing until it hurts more, until it hurts so bad that it's not fixable. And when that happens, then you will see God. Now, in Daniel 4, 28 through 37, and I don't know if I have time to read that today, but the king had a dream about a tree that was tall and fair, and it was hewn down, and the stump came among the beast. And Daniel tells the king that he's going to go mad, and it happens. Now, let me give you just a little bit of flavor of what we're going to talk about on Monday when we come back to this text. It is a dangerous thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Billy Sunday says the Lord may have to pile a coffin on your back before you will bend your knee to him. I was reading a paper from Boston University not too long ago about J. Robert Nelson, who spoke about God. And I remembered him. He had polio, and he knew God. God humbles those that are great, and he lifts up those who are small. And he's still doing that. Remember what my friend Rosemary Miller says. Grace always runs downhill. You think about that. Amen. Hey, listen, if you don't have the little booklet we're offering, the Old Testament survey, Genesis to Esther, and we're going to create another booklet, maybe two more, as soon as I finish the material. I haven't said it yet, but they're going to do it. But the first one is off the press, Old Testament survey, Genesis to Esther. It gives some basic points, some basic themes, some introductory comments. It'll be really helpful in your study of the Old Testament. We'll send it to you free. Just give us a call, 1-800-KEY-LIFE, 24 hours a day, or write Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794, or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3, or you can email us, steve@keylife.org, with your regular mailing address. Ask for the Old Testament survey, Genesis through Esther. We'll send it to you free. And listen, if you could help us financially, this would be a very good time. This is a very expensive ministry, and we squeeze every dime. And most of the people who receive this ministry aren't able to help us financially. So when you do, you help them. Pray about it and be as generous as you can. You can charge on a MasterCard, Visa, Discover card included in your envelope. For any gift of any size, when you request it, I'll send along the cassette teaching Mercy's Freedom. Hey, I gotta go. Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.